Is our God. Amen. And I'm glad no matter what we go through, our God don't change. Amen. Our circumstances may change. Our friends may change. Our churches may change. But praise God, our God doesn't change. Amen. I'm thankful for that this morning and glad we have that hope to cling to. Welcome everyone out this morning. It's good to be here. The extended nursery is dismissing to go down. If little ones want to go down, they're welcome. They can stay in here. They don't bother me. If they don't bother me, they shouldn't bother you. Amen. And we just appreciate little ones being in church with us. Amen. Pray for those who are sick today. We got several that are really struggling. Brother Joe especially, we just ask you to remember him. Keep Brother Joe Allen in your prayer. His oxygen levels are starting to creep way down, and the pain is not being managed while he's conscious with the morphine, and he's able to take what he wants. But just pray for him and just pray that God's grace would carry him through. Amen. He's ready to go home. He wants to go home, and he's looking forward to going home because he knows what he's leaving. He regrets having to leave family and friends behind, but he knows if, and he's told him, if you get your heart right with God and you get saved, he said, I'll be able to see you again. And we are thankful for that hope that we have in God and in his word. And then remember Brother Calvin in prayer. He had surgery on his eye this week. It looked like Joyce really went aboard him good. I mean, it swelled plumb shut. And but he did. He got hit in the eye with a piece of wood. And fortunately, it was wide enough. It just hit the eye sockets, but it did tear his retina loose, and they had to go in and reattach that. And he's supposed to be laying face down for 7 days, is what they've wanted him to, but he's too hard-headed to do it. Too antsy, can't stand being laying down. So just pray for Brother Calvin for his speedy recovery, and just pray that God would strengthen him. And then our other folks, Brother Curtis and Sister Vicki and Brother Harvey, just keep them in your prayers as well. A lot of folks know Stanley Harper had a salvage yard up on Red Hill. I grew up around him and all his family. Know them. Remember these families in prayer. Amen. Welcome our visitors today, and we're just glad that you're here. You know who you are. I ask you to stand this morning, turn in your Bibles to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter number 6. Hebrews, chapter number 6. I want to thank all the ladies that come out for the ladies' conference yesterday. I think they said it was the biggest one, the biggest crowd they ever had. They had 92 ladies and children that were in the auditorium yesterday for the ladies' conference. So we thank God for that. And I want to thank all the men, especially, that came out and helped me yesterday. And you are a great blessing. And I know the ladies appreciated all your efforts. And I'm sure that the Lord will honor you for doing that for the ladies. Amen. And a lot of folks give up, things that they normally do and like to do. And this is hunting season. A lot of folks give up hunting and things just for the ladies. So we just appreciate you being here. Hebrews chapter number 6, we're going to begin reading in verse number 13. Ladies, this might sound familiar, parts of the scripture to you. It says, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Our Father, we thank you for this privilege to gather in your house this morning. We thank you for your precious word.
We thank you for stirring our hearts and stirring our souls, Father, in the Sunday school hour, for stirring our hearts with the songs that have been sung. And God, as we look to your word today, again we ask, Father, that you move in our midst, Father, and stir our lives, stir our hearts, Father, and help us, God, to be drawn unto you, that your will might be accomplished in each and every heart and each and every life here today. Father, I ask you, God, just to help me to preach what you've laid on my heart today. And help me, Father, to do it in a manner that honors and glorifies you. Lord, we just thank you for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. And we praise you in Jesus' precious name. We say amen. You may be seated. Ladies' conference yesterday was dwelling on verse number 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. And I've been seeking the Lord and just seeking his face of what to preach this week. And, you know, sometimes God's real quiet and God's silent and he doesn't speak to you. And early yesterday morning, as I was preparing to come and to the ladies' conference, and before I left, is when the Lord finally gave me the message. I thought I was going to preach something else. I thought I was going to be preaching in Psalms, and maybe tonight we'll see what the Lord does. You know, sometimes we just need to learn to be obedient unto God. Amen. And I've learned that, and this is what he burdened my heart with and gave me confirmation and assurance and peace in. And I know the ladies got to hear some great speakers yesterday as they shared how the Lord has become an anchor. The hope that he gives us has become an anchor unto them. And God knew who was going to be here today, and he knew each life, and he knew each need, and he wanted to speak to hearts. You see, we're in a world, and we live in a place where people are searching for something. Amen. They're searching for an anchor. They're searching for hope. They're searching for something tangible that they can cling to and that they can hope in and that they can rely upon to help them in the times, in the troubles that they face as they go through this world and how they go through this life. And we're striving and we're struggling to anchor ourselves to all kinds of things except for the one sure anchor that holds. Amen. The world today is looking every way for something to grasp onto, and there's nothing there. There's nothing. They say, well, you can't prove to me that a God even exists. I can give you more proof that God exists to cling to than you can give me that he doesn't to reject and to cling to the things of this world. Amen. I seen one example that one of the commentators give. He said if you took a bottle and was able to pull a perfect vacuum, you see, we can't do anything perfect in this world. Amen. When we pull a vacuum on something, we can pull a 29.99999% vacuum, but we can never pull a perfect vacuum in this world. Did you all know that? But if you could pull a perfect vacuum in a bottle and could hermetically seal it, there would be absolutely nothing in that bottle. Amen. And nothing could get in that bottle, nothing could get out of that bottle. If you set that bottle up and left that bottle set for 5 billion years, it would still be filled with what? Nothing. And if you broke that bottle and released the nothing that was in that bottle, what would you still have? Nothing. From nothing, you will always get nothing. I like that example. Amen. And it just proves what God's word tells us. God spoke the world into existence. They say, well, where did God come from? I can't tell you. All I know is he always was. That's why he's God. That's why I'm not. And that's why science will never come to terms with all the trials and all the troubles and all the things that they strive to know in this world, because they won't put God in his rightful place and acknowledge him. And the world clamors after what the scientists say. The world clamors after what sociologists say. The world clamors after what everybody else says, but what the Word of God says. The Word of God tells us we have a sure anchor. Amen? We have an anchor we can go to. We have folks in this world, and folks, God knew who was going to be here today. So don't think I'm just picking on you because you're here. Don't think I'm just picking on you because of your circumstance and your situation. But I tell you what, we need to quit just tiptoeing around the issues that are facing our church and our lives today. We've got people who have turned to drugs and the drug culture, and they're seeking to find an anchor in that, and they're coming up empty. Cecil County is just filled with it. Our community, this isn't something happening down the road. That's something that's happening right here. And they're clinging to that for an anchor. And the anchor is letting them down. The anchor is failing them miserably. And you can look in the obituaries. And 9 times out of 10, when you see a young person that has died, and they died suddenly, what they're telling you is they died of a drug overdose, or they died because of drugs. And you see it all the time in the obituaries in the Cecil Whig. We see folks that are getting drug away by the sexual anchor. And young ladies, listen to me, young ladies. And I'm not trying to put anybody down. I'm not trying to malign you in any way. But you need to be aware of something. If a young man tells you that you'll prove your love to him if you have sex with him, he's just lying to you, and you need to get away from that scoundrel. Amen? He's trying to use sex to draw you, and to use sex as an anchor in your life, and you'll find out that sooner or later, when you yield to that, he'll be down the road and gone before you can shake your head and get your mind clear of what's really actually happened. Amen. Amen. It's not just the young ladies. It's our older people, our moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas. And somebody looks at you and winks an eye and offers you something that doesn't belong to you. Let me tell you something. The Bible says you can't walk on fire and not get, we can't handle fire and not get burned. Amen. We're looking for satisfaction outside of the marital relationships. And think we're going to find satisfaction in sex with some stranger somewhere. It's not going to happen. The only thing that's going to happen is it will rip your marriage apart. It'll rip your relationships apart. And you can look for that, and you can seek for that as an anchor. And that anchor will let you down. People are looking for money as an anchor. If I just made more money. If I just had a better job, if I could just succeed and just move up and just get more, and God gives you more, God allows you to get more, and you give less to God, and you give less of your time, you give less of your presence, you give less of what you have to God than you did when you had nothing. Money is not an anchor. People were putting all their money into real estate. They were putting their money into everything. And maybe we were going to be land barons. And we were going to be rich beyond our wildest dreams. And then the bubble popped. And everybody is talking and crying and moaning and whining that they're underwater in their mortgages. Amen. That anchor failed. Amen. Our careers, our positions, we're looking for everything to be the end. We're looking for everything to give meaning to our lives. Folks, let me tell you something this morning. Outside of Christ Jesus, you are going to find nothing. And I repeat, nothing. Amen. Amen. That will sustain you, nothing that will strengthen you, nothing that will bring you through the storms of life, nothing that will give you any hope for eternity. Some things might give you hope, and they might give you some pleasure, but for a moment. But generally, they bring much misery with them. The old saying is, the devil will always take you farther than what you wanted to go. Keep you longer than what you wanted to stay. And charge you more than what you were willing to pay. Talk to folks that have been there. They can tell you. Brother Sean, I'm going to point you out for a moment. Go talk to Brother Sean. He can tell you. I love that man's testimony. Amen. I love his witness for Christ and what Christ has done in his life. He's a blessing to me. You know, go talk to some of the older fellows. You look at all these old Christians. Well, what do they know? Just a bunch of old fuddy-duddies. Well, you might be surprised where some of these old fuddy-duddies come from. From the pits that they were drug up out of. Hey, man, I don't like to brag on my sin. I don't like to talk about my sin. But I'll tell you about it. I'll tell you, I know exactly what sin will do for you. I know exactly where sin will take you. Hey, man, let me tell you, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. But Paul, as he's writing, the book of Hebrews is one sermon that could be preached if it were possible about the superiority of Christ Jesus over anything else. You know, see, he was writing to the Jews, and the Jews were always bragging about their inheritance and their relationship to Abraham. They were always bragging about we're Abraham's seed, we're Abraham's children, we're Abraham's, and we're under the law. And Paul, as he wrote the book of Hebrews, he wanted to encourage them to understand and to know that there was something better than what they had had before, and Christ Jesus was his name. Amen. Hope. Hope. We have as an anchor of the soul. You know, I spent some time in the Navy, and, you know, an anchor was something I was very familiar with. A lot of folks boat, and you're familiar with anchors and the different types of anchors. And, you know, when you go to choose an anchor, you got to choose an anchor because, and on its ability and its substance and what it's made of, you go by the wrong anchor, and you'll find out it won't hold your boat, it won't hold your ship. Amen. It's got to be examined, and you got to know that what you're getting for an anchor. You know, on the side of my ship, there was two great big anchors, one on each side, and they weighed several tons. I mean, they were huge. The flukes were big. The belts was awesome. They had a tremendous bite. They had chains that were 3 inches around in diameter that held these anchors to the. I mean, there was some substance to these things, and you knew when they were dropped and when they bit into the ground and when they took hold that they were going to be substantial enough to hold your ship. Let me ask you something. Is the anchor that you're clinging to substantial enough to hold you and to keep you and sustain you? Look at what it said here in verses 13 down through 15. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. God had made a promise unto Abraham of what he was going to do. And not only did he make a promise to him, he swore by an oath that he would fulfill the things that he said. And Abraham lived his life depending on God. You know, he made a mistake. How many here has never made a mistake? I didn't think so. But you know what? That didn't change God's faithfulness. Amen. How many have found God still to be faithful when you've made a mistake? Amen. Aren't you glad that he is? Aren't you glad that he doesn't fail even though that we do? He's an anchor that we can be assured of, an anchor that we can depend upon. The Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything that you're going through in your life, any storm, any trial, any problem that you're facing that's too hard for the Lord to deal with? I think not, because there's nothing that's impossible for God. Amen. If you're going to choose find an anchor, if you're going to choose to depend in something or someone, I would encourage you. I would implore you, I would beg of you, find Jesus. Amen. Amen. Find Jesus. Which hope we have as a sure anchor for the soul. Amen. You know what's important about an anchor isn't so much the anchor that's there. Because if that anchor's not attached, you know, I've seen folks, I know a fellow that threw his anchor off his boat and didn't have it attached to anything. Amen. Didn't do him a whole lot of good. Amen. But, you know, the point at which the anchor on my ship, they said if we got in water that was too deep, I forget how many hundred feet it was that we could drop our anchor, and them things will drop a good ways. But when that thing dropped, it sounded like the bowels of the ship were coming loose. And especially if you were the fella that was in the windlass room, underneath of the windlass, and you was in charge of operating the brake. I was training a guy to do that one time, and they dropped that anchor, and he heard that thing start rolling down out of there, and it sounds like the bowels of the ship. You know, and he's counting. He said, "Man, that thing's gone. It's gone. It's gone." And he took off a running because he's afraid it was going to pull the anchorage. They always told you that if it got going so far and dropped so fast that it would just rip the bottom right out of the ship where it was attached to. It's a big lie. But they told him that. And man, he heard that thing going, and he was gone. And we was in deep water, and that thing was gone. And he took off a running, but he had a headphone set on, so that they could tell him when to apply the brake, and it had a cord to it. Amen. And he could go about as far outside of that room, about two-thirds of the way down this aisle, and he got to the end of that thing, and it straps on around your chin because it's got a mouthpiece and everything, and he hit the end of that thing, and it was bloop, just like a cartoon. The funniest thing I ever seen. Amen. But you know, that ship had to be attached to the anchor. You know, it had to be connected to it. And it had to know that when you was dependent on the anchor, it was attached. You know, the important thing about attaching the anchor is you want to make sure it's attached to something that's able to hold. Amen? That's able to face the strong currents. Able to face a storm should it arise while you're at anchor. You know, a false belief is that when you have a storm, they put the ship, they want to anchor the ship in the storm. You don't anchor the ship in a storm. You send the ship to sea in the midst of the storm. Amen. My wife has rode out many a terrible storm with me at sea. Because if a bad storm was coming, they untied all those ships that was tied up next to the pier that was going to beat the piers to pieces, and they sent you out to sea. And you just went out there and you run around and you got to ride the storm out. Amen. It wasn't fun sometimes. But we knew that when we put our anchor and we set our anchor and we dropped our anchor, it was attached. It was attached. And as long as we did what we were supposed to do, as long as we operated according to the manual, amen, nothing whatsoever could hinder that attachment. Amen. It would have had to take a saboteur to go and cut our anchor chain for our anchor not to have been able to hold the ship. Let me ask you this morning, what is your life anchored to? What's your life attached to? Amen. What's your anchor grounded in and rooted in? Amen. Paul told the Athenians when he stood at Mars Hill, he said, and he's talking about God, the creator of the universe. He said, "For in him we live and move and have our being. As certain of your own poets have said, for we are his offspring." In him. You know, so many people today are placing their faith, they're placing their hope, they're placing their eternity in things. Amen. In religion, that's a thing. Amen. In the pleasures of the world, that's a thing. In responsible activities, all things. They're placing their lives, their eternity, their assurance. See, that's what that attachment is. That assurance in things. And it's not a what that you're attached to. but it's a who. Amen? It's not a what. When we're talking about our spiritual lives and we're talking about our spiritual anchor, we're talking about our spiritual, it can't be a what. It has to be a who. The Apostle Paul said, for the which calls I, talking about preaching the gospel, he said, for the which calls I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against the day. You see, Paul, when he wrote that, he knew exactly who he was anchored to. He knew exactly what his anchor was attached to. He knew exactly where his anchor was coming from and what was holding his anchor together. And you go back and read in the book of Ephesians, and I had it marked here so I could flip right to it. Somehow, and I done messed it up. Back here in Ephesians, and let me find it here. I want you to read this. I want you to see this, and you can read all the way through the book of Ephesians, and you'll see this theme. All right, look in Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 7. It says, "In whom we have redemption." In Ephesians, in chapter number, verse number 11, it says, in whom we have obtained an inheritance. In verse number 13, it says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest for our inheritance and the redemption. You go read all the way through the book of Ephesians, and the Apostle Paul reminds them, it's not a what, but it's a whom. It's a who, and let me tell you who he is. His name is Jesus. Amen. That we need to be attached to. Amen. But the thing that keeps the ship connected to the anchor is the chain. Amen. Now, I'll tell you what, some people use a rope, a line on a boat maybe to tie or to anchor your boat. Some of the bigger ships use some rope sometimes to tie. They use rope to tie themselves to the pier, a great old big rope. Amen. But the thing of it is, it needs to be strong. It needs to be strong enough to withstand whatever's going to come against that ship. Whatever forces are going to be applied to it, that it don't lose its attachment between the anchor and the ship. What does that in our spiritual lives? Isn't it our faith? Jesus is our anchor. He's our sure hope. Amen. But isn't it our faith in the finished work? Isn't it our faith in the promises that a God who cannot lie has made to us? A God who not only made a promise, but he made an oath. He confirmed it by two unchangeable. That's what the word immutable means. Two unchangeable facts. That we can stay anchored. We can stay secured. We can stay sure and steadfast if we put our faith in the right place. It says in chapter 11 here in Hebrews, it says, "For now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And in verse number 6, it says, "But without faith, it's impossible to please him." Excuse me. "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." There was a gap between my heart and the anchor. A gap that only God could secure. A gap that only God could make sure. And he done that when he sent his son to die on an old rugged cross. He hung on Calvary. He paid your sin debt. He paid my sin debt. Calvary closed the gap. Christ coming into my heart secured me. Now, if you don't get anything else out of this message this morning, I wish you would get this and maybe write this in the margin of your Bible right here by this passage of Scripture. It's very important. Is your anchor attached securely to your heart as the anchor is securely attached in heaven? You see, some people, and sometimes we give a lot of lip service. I believe in God. I believe in God, but trials come our way. And we're trusting in everything but God. We're trusting in everything but Christ. We're trusting in everything but Calvary's finished work. If that anchor chain isn't attached by God to my heart as securely as it's attached by God to that anchor in heaven, where is my life going to be? I'll wind up shipwrecked. I'll wind up abandoned. I'll wind up unsure. Because the currents of life will move me further and further away. Amen? That anchor can still be there. And that anchor can still be attached in heaven. But God has spoke to my heart and God has moved in my life. But I've not made sure. And I've not kept an eye on that attachment to make sure that attachment stays strong. And then our faith grows weak. Our faith grows feeble. Our faith becomes unable to sustain us. How many times did Jesus have to look at his disciples and say, "Oh, ye of little faith"? You know why? Because the attachment wasn't as strong in their heart as it was in heaven. We need to guard that. We need to make sure of that. We need to take, you know, just see an anchor just hanging off the side of the ship. Everybody thinks, well, it's just there and it just does what it does. Well, no. There's fellows on the ship called boatswain's mates. And they are constantly working on the ship. But they are constantly dealing with the anchor and with the anchor chain. They're constantly dealing with the attachments to make sure that everything is as it should be. You know, we need to do that. The Apostle Paul says, you know, he said, I have to die out to the flesh daily. I have to keep myself and keep my flesh under subjection. We need to keep up and keep in charge with making sure that we maintain our spiritual relationship as close to God as it needs to be. Because Christ, our anchor, can be a sure and steadfast hope in the midst of the storms and trials of this life. Why do we need an anchor? Why do we need this anchor? Because your life depends upon it. Amen. You remember when the Apostle Paul and the folks were in the storm? The Euloucladan is what the storm was called. It's a tremendous storm. Like the perfect storm. They made the movie about a terrific storm. They were dependent upon their anchor. Your life depends upon the anchor. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse number 3, ye must be born again. Again, in verse number 7 of John chapter number 3, he says, verily, verily. When you see that word verily, verily, it means pay attention to this. It means I'm being real sincere. I'm being earnest about this. Ye must be born again. Jesus is that anchor. And without that anchor, there's nothing to keep you connected to heaven. There's nothing to sustain you. Ye must be born again. Your stability depends upon it. Your walk as a Christian. Your walk in this world. The Apostle Paul says, "But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Steadfast and unmovable can only come when you're attached to an anchor that's sure and steadfast. Amen. And why so many people are in and out of the house of God? Why so many people are, one minute they're hot and the next minute they're cold? They're so wishy-washy. Is they haven't got themselves attached steadfastly. Amen. They're not letting God do the work. They're not letting God make the attachment. They're not letting God set the chain and put the chain in place that it holds us to the anchor and keeps us faithful, sure and steadfast. You don't want to be found drifting on the seas of life. If the anchor's not sure and steadfast, if the anchor's not connected properly, if the anchor don't have a good chain, it's not going to be sure and steadfast. It's going to be wishy-washy. It's going to be if and maybe. And I don't know about you, but I'm not willing to trust my eternal life to an if and a maybe. But I want to trust it to sure and steadfast. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to go through what Sister Tanya went through last year with an if and a maybe. But I'd rather go through it sure and steadfast. Some of you don't know Brother Joe Allen. He's on hospice. He's dying. His lungs are closing down. He's got COPD. His spine is shot. He's in agony, and they can't do nothing about it. But he's not dependent on if and maybe. He's trusting and sure and steadfast. He's put his trust in Jesus. Your spiritual journey depends upon it. God has a place and God has a purpose. And God has a plan for your life. Jesus said in John 16:33, He said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. You could say storms. You could say trials. You could say troubles and difficulties. You'll have temptations. You'll have issues that are going to face you. In this world ye shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. There in Acts chapter 27 and verse 29, as the Apostle Paul is on this ship and they're on this journey, God has told the Apostle Paul that you're going to Rome and you're going to testify. In the journey, he had to go through a storm. And the storm was so bad that as they were sounding the depth, checking how deep the water was, they found out that it was getting shallow very quick. And the Apostle Paul said, and they threw the anchors out of the stern. Why? Lest we should fall on the rocks. Your journey depends upon being connected to a sure anchor. I don't know what you're trusting in. I don't know what you've anchored yourself to in this world. But let me tell you something. There's nothing in this world that's sure and steadfast but Jesus Christ. God's promises and His pledge was that He might redeem unto Himself a people from the curse of sin. And those who have trusted in Him, He said He would in no wise cast out. Those who have trusted in Him, He would see through the trials and through the storms and through the troubles as they face the journeys of life. Brother Jim, Sister Mary.